There's got to be an explanation to all these UFO sightings, right? Hey, it's Stephen Diener, host of the Unidentified Alien Podcast. And whether you're new to the conversation or have been looking into it for years, you need to check out the fastest growing alien show out there, the Unidentified Alien Podcast, or UAP for short. There's a crazy amount of alien encounter stories out there from all over the world. And the beauty of it is that I bring them all to you and let you decide what you believe. Download and subscribe to UAP on any of the major podcasting platforms. And you can also find it on UAPpodcast.com.
Yes, yes. For the first time in nearly 2 weeks, brother, it's the Tim McKernan Show podcast, QFTA, from the Longo Big Studios, Timothy Michael McKernan and Jackson Bennett Burkett.
Good to be here, Tim.
Hello again, everybody. It's great to be with you for the first time after I was vacationing in the Hamptons and got back last week and back on the air on Monday. Today is Tuesday, February 20th, 2024. And Jackson, it's great to be with the people for QFTA. Questions from the audience, in which you can send your questions in tmckernan@insidestl.com, T-M-C-K-E-R-N-A-N at insidestl.com. And my God, I just opened up my email. So I had a situation. I'm doing this live, even though I realize it's a podcast for a lot of people. So I read an email this morning from someone who asked a great question. I can't say enough how much I appreciate. And I read this on TMA. How much I appreciate when somebody asks me a question directly as opposed to it's hearsay or it's passed along on social media as if it's fact.
Right.
And then, because I'm happy to answer questions.
Yep.
There may come a time, and I'm sure there are some, where there's a question I'm going, yeah, I can't answer that, or it would be best not to answer that.
Mm-hmm.
But otherwise, I enjoy it. And so therefore, if somebody does it, I appreciate it. For example, I was on vacation, as I made reference to, and it was late night. Jackson, about 2 in the morning, and a friend of my wife's, nice-looking lass, we're sitting in the cocktail lounge, and she says, and she's had a libation.
Mm-hmm.
I've had a libation.
Port.
I've had port. That's exactly what I had.
Right, the dainty little glass.
I can't hold it. Right,
the pincers.
Right. And she goes, essentially, what's the deal with you? But I mean, it wasn't said like that.
Sure.
It's like, you're an enigma. And I go, oh, wow. And I like move the chair in. And she goes, you have this wife, my opinion implying your appearance doesn't match her appearance.
I don't know why she would say something like that. It's ridiculous.
That's what was, I took it as.
Right.
And you have these shows and this personality, but then sometimes you're, you know, more reserved.
Mm-hmm.
Now, earlier in the evening, apropos of nothing, another one of my wife's friends who's there, also nice-looking lass, and she is, she's got like an executive role with a business, and she was talking about these personality trait questionnaires that they use to try to get a gauge on the best way to manage people. Are you familiar with these things?
No.
No, you're not?
No. I guess the idea of a personality trait questionnaire is not foreign to me, but I've never done one.
Okay. And she, I'm off camera. Slide on over, big boy.
There you go.
And I know you're either an I or an E. I, introvert, E, extrovert. And then it gets into a bunch of other things. Here's what I was. Do you want to know what I was? No, you don't. Are you going to say you do? Yes, you are.
Well, just for the sake of programming.
That's exactly right.
If I said no, like, it would just kind of be like, this would be a real dead end, real railroad situation.
I got to find the fucking thing. All right, there's my son skating, so that couldn't have been where we were. There was, by the way, who knows if we ever pick up the topic. Once I say, by the way,
yep,
all bets are off.
Yep.
There was a lot of interest in where I went on vacation. I don't know.
Was there?
It was so odd. From, like, people I know, not just from, like,
yeah,
you know, people I don't know or people who are, you know,
right,
I may have met over time. Like, amongst my friends, just because of the one exchange on the show in which Iggy did nothing wrong, by the way. But he said, "Oh, where are you going?" And I said, "I don't really want to say, you know." And he didn't do anything wrong because we have talked about it. I'm just so conscious of, and I made a big. I should have just said, "Yeah, we're going to the Bahamas." It's not that big of a fucking deal.
Right.
But you know, I'm, you know, I just like I thought when I went to spring training, it wasn't that big of a deal, but it became like a thing.
Right.
So now I'm like, now I'm. Now,
gun shy.
Yeah, and it sucks because my personality is to, if I can, talk about everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's not like, maybe we're going like St. Bart's, you know,
yeah,
or like a
Turks.
Ibiza,
yeah.
You know, but it's Bahamas. Like, any asshole can go to the Bahamas,
yeah.
But I'm just like, I don't want to, and honestly, part of it's, I'm like, oh, you know, some fuck stick will find where we're staying and like call my room, because I have had that happen before.
Yes,
all right, here's my personality, which will mean nothing to you, but it'll mean something to some people. ISTJ-T. I don't know what the difference is, but either way. So that's what the personality type is. And you go, who the fuck cares? What does this matter? ISTJ personality type. What does it mean?
Yeah.
The ISTJ personality type is introverted, sensing, thinking, and judging, which means they're energized by quiet, independent work, pragmatic, detail-oriented, logical, skilled in organization and time management. This combination of personality preferences produces people who value order, predictability, and routine. They're rule followers who love the security that comes with knowing their place in the world. ISTJs are hard workers who are reliable, productive, and persistent. They appreciate the value of teamwork, but can be stubborn and struggle with change. If an ISTJ says it, an ISTJ means it.
There you go.
And I'm like,
wow.
Ooh.
It's a little creepy.
Yeah.
And
we're just sitting there, like, drinking, like, tequila.
Right.
And one of her friends goes, oh, you ought to answer these. And it's like 100 questions.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah. Ooh. But, I mean, they're not like, you know, what year was the National League founded? I mean, they're like, they're,
yeah,
they're things you can answer quickly.
Yeah.
But I'm, like, really going through it. And they're like, no, that's not how you do it. You answer it instantaneously.
Got it.
Anyway, why do I tell this? I would love to see what you would be. I would think you are an I.
Yes.
You would agree with that.
Yes.
But see, here's the thing. If you hear me on the show, you think I'm an E.
Yes. When I first started working with you, that's what I was.
And that's the thing. And so I've become aware of that. And I turned to Doug yesterday when the topic, I don't even know how this topic came up, on TMA. And I used the example of Steve Savard. And I think I actually said this to Steve when he was on the podcast. And I could tell he was like, just totally didn't agree.
Mm-hmm.
But Steve Savard, who was an anchor on Channel 4, was a sports director for a number of years and then was a news anchor, and he's working, I think, in Springfield, Missouri now. Great guy. And Doug and I worked with him. And Steve's this big, you know, nice-looking guy who, I guess, was in camp with the Dallas Cowboys for a period of time.
Makes sense.
And, you know, if you're a sports director in local television in the 90s and the 2000s, you were probably making a nice living.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have a personality on the air. But then off the air, it's not like he was an ass by any means. Great fucking guy. I haven't worked with him for 20 years, and I would say that. I'm saying it now. But he was, I think, a little introverted. And so what then wound up people would say about him, not everybody, but some people, oh, yeah, he thinks he's so fucking great. And I'm like, I work with the guy 5 days a week. That's just not true.
Right.
I mean, I guess he's a big, nice-looking guy who had a cup of coffee with the Dallas Cowboys. But, shit, you know, he's just kind of quiet and goes about his job and, you know, is a good guy. That's all there is to it. And he'll fuck around and have a good time just like anybody else. But because he's not, like, you know, glad-handing,
right,
it became, oh, Steve thinks he's so. So I think that's something that I deal with, minus the big, good-looking guy who had a cup of coffee with the Dallas Cowboys.
Right.
But the perception of you're in this role, and I may have told this story on the air before, but the next day after we were all boozed up and we had this exchange, and I'll go into the exchange a little more here in a moment— we're sitting by the pool, my wife and two of her friends. It's just the girls and me, the way I like it.
Yeah, damn right.
And, you know, we're giggling and talking about the Real Housewives and how we just admire them. And one of the girls asked a question about it. I said, here's the deal. This is the best way I can sum it up. On Letterman's interview show on Netflix, did you ever watch that? That would strike me as something you would enjoy. But yet Letterman kind of predates you.
Well, but I love Letterman.
Okay.
The interview, like with KD, is one of my...
Okay, so you're familiar with that.
Yeah, that's one that's like very important.
So I think he had Stern on his show. I think that's where it was. And they looked at each other, and those who know them who have been on their shows both know they're kind of fucking, for lack of a better term, weird.
Right, especially like during the breaks, there's always the stories.
With Letterman in particular. And I think it was Howard who said to David, isn't it weird how our shows allow us to act like normal functioning human beings, whereas in real life, we're all fucked up? And I would say that when I heard that line, I go, ah, that is my truth.
Yeah.
That is my truth.
Yeah.
That's that right there summed me up. I'm not saying I'm at their level. I'm well beyond their
level. Right. I think we all know that.
But I heard, that's it. That's it. And I think that's the thing. People hear the show and all the shows. It's not like I'm one way or another, you know, and they assume this. And that is what this lass was saying. And I said, we walk out from the bar to the casino floor and we're still going. It's 2:30 in the morning. And at this point, when you're 47, you know, 2:30 in the morning is late. And, you know, I'm all fucked up. And I said to my wife, I go, that was one of the greatest moments I've had with as far as somebody like trying to figure me out. And she goes, I kind of took it as she was insulting you. I go, no. I mean, she might have. I don't think she was. I think she was just being really direct in saying, probably because she was drunk, I don't get it. You know, she's not a listener of the shows. I can't imagine anyway. But she hears about the shows. She knows that there's this following, probably from like her male friends, but goes, what the fuck? When I'm with him, he's kind of just like a normal, calm guy who, you know, again, I think she may have been implying there is a tilted scale.
Way off.
Right. I didn't have my toupee on the trip. If I had my toupee on.
Right. You're nice. It's a nice piece. I feel like it's somewhat of a chicken and egg thing. Like when you talk about with Stern and Letterman and you finding similarities in that. Like if you didn't have this outlet or if they didn't have that outlet to really kind of spread their wings, for lack of a better term, I don't know if like they'd channel that in a different way. Like if you worked a desk job, maybe.
Correct. That's it. That 100%. 100%. That's it. And I don't know. That wasn't something I heard in like the 2000s. And I'd include like once I left television, and I don't know if I necessarily heard. I think it came with a perception of success, a perception of success. When I emphasize that, and then the next day, I mean this girl was asking like really poignant question, and now everybody's sober and we're sitting by the pool, and she goes, "What's the best part of the job?" And I go, and we're just bullshit. I mean, it's not like, you know, and I go, that's a good question. I go, I get to go in and I get paid to laugh with four people I really like. You know, if there was just one motherfucker on the show where you're like, oh, God, you know, and it's even worse if like the audience really loves him, but then everybody else is like, oh, this fucking guy is going to cause a problem. You know, I got four people I like and I laugh.
Yep.
I get paid to do that. Plus, if I really have an opinion at this point in my career, I'm comfortable saying it. And people are interested in hearing what we have to say. Not a bunch of people, but a portion of St. Louis and those who are from St. Louis, it seems, are interested in it. That's a great thing. I love that. And then she goes, what's the worst part? So the worst part is being, usually if you're known by people, that comes with so much wealth that you can kind of go, okay, fuck off.
Right.
This is the worst kind of thing. I would prefer to have a bunch of money and no one know me. That is my perma orgasm. If I could be like Iggy, I think today when he was asking about like who was the guy who donated $62 million to Missouri, and I go, probably some rich motherfucker who couldn't care less that people know he made the donation and doesn't want people to know he has $62 million or lady, doesn't matter, sure. $62 million. You know, I realize oftentimes, I think, what was the poll? I think you sent it over as one of your links yesterday. 57%, or maybe it was just something I saw on social media, on TikTok, I think. 57% of Gen Zers want to be influencers.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
4% of influencers are making $100,000 annually. Mm-hmm. In other words, one of the goals isn't just security, as in income and or net worth. It's fame. And so I'm not, again, this is local, like D-list fame, but it comes with people, you know, you can't control what people say. So you kind of get to a point where at first it bothers you. And I'm not saying I'm invincible from it, but it really, at this point, it's like, okay, you know, it comes, it's the cost, I keep going back, it's the cost of doing business. But it's just kind of like, I'd prefer not to have it. If you give me the choice, holy shit, I would prefer not to have it.
Sure.
Where people think they know me just because they listen to a show. But hey, that's the deal. And that's allowed me to have a nice career, you know?
Yeah.
So that's the answer to the question. What were you saying right there?
Parasocial relationship.
Parasocial. Define that, Jackson.
So, like, they know a lot about you from listening to you for years, but you know nothing about them.
That's correct.
It's the same thing, you know, if you went up to, you know, insert celebrity name here. You might know a ton about them, seen everything they've ever done or listened to anything they've ever done, but they know nothing about you. And it's an interesting kind of relationship.
Right. Yeah. And some people who are not in the industry have made that observation, I guess probably on that trip where we talked a little bit about it. And so when I have a chance to explain that, I hope people understand it. And again, I'm not saying I wouldn't trade. I mean, this has been incredible. I'm not saying it because of money. I'm saying it because of the experience. Do it in my hometown, too. This is what I wanted when I was in my – how often do you get to do what you were dreaming of doing when you were in your teens for a living? Holy shit. So there's just a great deal of gratitude and luck. And I guess we've worked hard and had some game plans. But still, you got to get lucky. You got to be working with great people, period. And so – I loved that she asked those questions because it was asked directly to me as opposed to, like, going to my wife going, you know, you're really hot, and he, I don't know, and, you know, and right. And then, you know, I hear he's at the show, and, you know, all these guys that I know love the show and say he's this and that, but then when I'm around him, he's just kind of like a normal guy. What the fuck? You know, I would have been like, okay, fuck off, you know? So I'm like, good for you for saying what probably a lot of people think. And you had the balls, the clit, to say, yep, to say it directly to me. And I don't care if it was 2 a.m. and we're all fucked up.
Right.
I appreciate it. Yeah. Port flowing. And I'm holding on to this little glass for my life.
Leave the bottle.
Right. I can't feed it to me. So anyway, why am I talking about this, you wonder? Because I got this email that I read on TMA today that was a QFTA email. Now, I was in a meeting, which is why we started late. And I apologize to both you, Jackson, and the audience. You knew I had the meeting. It just popped up. But the audience did, and I said we would start at 11:25. And we have a hard out today at like 12:15, 12:20, as a sound story will be in the Longo Big Studios. So I have not had a chance to read the email that was a follow-up to her email. But I do see the start says, PLTDing, thanks for not sharing my name on the air before giving me a chance to respond. So I'm so glad I did that. Yeah. I just knew that it was going to lead to us going down a road that was kind of irrelevant. The question was the focal point. And the reason why I read it on TMA was because I wanted to see if you, who I thought would have the best chance of getting why I was reading the question, because I think you get me the best in part because you spend so much time with me, but I think, and I hate to say this to you, I think you're the most similar to me. Mm. Beware of that. How do you feel when you hear that?
Mixed emotions, but ultimately.
I like that. That's because that's an honest answer.
Yeah, but ultimately, you know.
Good for you for not going, oh, I think it's great.
Well, there could be a lot worse things to, like, there's a lot worse that you could say about
that's
somebody.
Not a big endorsement. But, like, but we have a guy who works at Hubbard Corporate, and he's got a really good thing going. I don't know if he wants, but we were on the phone 2 weeks ago. I wanted to try to get the numbers on the Tim McKernan Show podcast for the month of January, since we did, and that's the guy that handles it. He's great, one of my favorite guys we've met.
He's outstanding.
And he really is. And as it turns out, I told you this, I think I texted you when I was out of town. Mm-hmm. It worked. We're the third most listened to podcast at Hubbard in St. Louis for the month of January 2024. Riz Show, TMA. Tim McKernan Show podcast. You deserve credit for that, just like I deserve credit for that. That's not me. My name's on it, but you're in every one of these things.
Yeah.
So that's great.
super awesome.
Wonderful that there's an audience, because if he would have like that, it's kind of the same where it was in December. I'd be like, all right, we'll just go back to doing once a week, and yeah. I'll go
rest our larynx.
Fuck yeah, yeah, exactly. So that's outstanding, super exciting. So anyway, when I'm talking to him, he starts talking about some ideas, and he goes, like the sound story thing. He goes, and what you did there, and he goes, and then what you did with TMA. He goes, and I'm hearing him going, oh shit, you're just like me, because he had a couple business ideas. And my reaction was, in a way, I'm like, this is great because I'll be able to speak the language to him. But honestly, my other reaction was, I feel terribly for him because I know what it's like. And I'm not talking about, like, quality of life. I'm talking about you're never satisfied. It's not pleasant. It's not pleasant. I don't want this for you. I don't want this for my children. Yeah. You know, I really don't.
I have that, like that part.
Right. I don't think you do. Yeah. Now, the byproduct of that, I suppose, is you oftentimes you'll fail a bunch, because that means you're going to fire a lot of pucks on net. But you may have some big successes here or there. Yep. And this isn't me. This is anybody who, if you put a bunch of pucks on net, inevitably one's going to get through.
Yeah.
But it's exhausting. It's tiring. And then it's exhausting and tiring. I'm sure it is for my wife. I'm sure it is for the people around me. You know, I mean, fuck, I've had 4 long-term relationships. You know, I'm sure it's exhausting to be with somebody who's constantly fucking going, I got to do this. I got to do that.
Right.
So when I was talking to him, I'm like, holy shit, you're just like me. I mean, I'm not saying like, oh, because he's a great guy. I'm going, because he's always thinking of another thing,
you know?
So that's why you having mixed emotions is the right response, in my opinion.
Yeah, to me, to sum it up, it's like you can live with failure, but you can't live with what ifs. And that's kind of the idea, is like, if you're leaving a putt out there is worse than missing a putt itself. Which was kind of the same thing. That was a bad example. But the idea of like...
No, I get what you're saying.
Trying and failing is better than not trying at all.
Like leaving, I guess, if you want to go on a golf net, leaving a putt short as opposed, you know, and leaving it a tap in short as opposed, but not trying to make the putt, right. If you want to go golf analogy. I don't know. I mean, it's just, I don't know what, I actually think my shit's rooted in insecurity. I'm not talking about like, oh, I hope you say nice things about me. That's not it, because you're not. But I'm talking about, like, I honestly believe I'm going to get fired at any moment. Now, I guess I'm at a point where if I got fired, I'd be fine. But back in the day, because I did, I had traumatic shit happen in Little Rock. That was super traumatic. It was a real thing. I didn't get fired at KMOV, but when I thought I was going to get this big raise, and Alan Cohen, the general manager, gives me, like, whatever it was, like a 2% raise or something like that, and just kind of looked at me and goes, you can quit if you want. I'm not really, that's not what he said, but that's what the look meant. Not going to give a shit. And then, of course, all of the shit with radio. I think that's where it comes from. I remember watching the Jerry Rice 30 for 30, and he's like, oh, I just showed up at camp over here thinking I was going to get cut. Mm-hmm. And I'm going, what the fuck's wrong with this guy?
Right.
You know?
Right.
So I think that's where it comes from. It doesn't come from a place of, like, purity. It comes from a place of negativity. I mean, as far as, like, you wouldn't consider a fear being a positive. You would consider it being a negative, right? That's what I mean by it. So anyway, this is what she sent in. Hope this is context for everyone. Hey, Tim, I heard you mention on TMA this morning that QFTA is now the number 3 podcast at Hubbard St. Louis. Congrats. My question is this. Could a significant increase in the popularity and therefore advertising revenue for your podcast translate to more resources for TMA? Obviously, the Tim McKernan Show doesn't cost as much to operate as TMA, so could that increase feed more dollars to be spent on future members of TMA, such as KG or the Cat? Just wondering if that is part of the thought process for moving to more frequent QFTA episodes, on top of it being the place where you have an opportunity to actually talk. Thanks. And then the name. Now she has written since. Now, before I read, and I haven't read outside of that first paragraph or first line, actually. So we're on YouTube. So actually, I think I can read it. I hope I can read it. But I won't give her name just yet. So the reason I brought it to TMA is when I read that, I immediately had a reaction. And my reaction was one of, it's frustrating to me. I'm not angry about it. I don't want to make this clear. But it's frustrating to me that I know that for at least a portion of the audience, there is an expectation that it is my responsibility to subsidize people who work on TMA. That is, it's frustrating that that exists. However, I, in a major way, appreciate that she asked it directly, which goes back to why I tell the story of getting fucked up in the Bahamas and the question that I was asked then, because it was asked directly, because it's my belief that it exists. So in the case of the cat, specifically to what happened with him when he was fired, he was, you know, they messed with him a bunch when we were there at KFNS from 2016 to 2021. But in 2017, he was fired. And the only way he came back was when I said, okay, I'll pay what wound up being 60% of his salary. I paid it out of Inside STL. We had him do the Cat Chat podcast to, like, justify it. But, I mean, that was just kind of like, got to do something to do it. And then the whole scheme. But I just wanted him back on the show. He shouldn't have been fired in the first place. It was not right. And so you do whatever you can in order to try to get it right. That was, you know... I would not do that now. And one of the reasons I now have a wife and two children, you know, it just gets to a point where you can't. And then the Plowhawk being here, I gave back a portion of my salary. Now, people might be like, stop fucking talking about this. Or other people might be like, I have no idea that that's what happened, but that's what happened. And these are, you know, this isn't like, and not that $5,000 isn't a lot of money, but this is, you know, well more than $5,000 when you total this stuff up. And anytime somebody would get fired or fucked with or threatened to fire, I'd go, okay, let me give back some money. And I'm just like, okay, at this point, I'm tired of doing that. But here's the thing. If TMA were the source of, like, a surplus, for lack of a better term, even though that money doesn't go to me, it goes to Hubbard. That's one thing. Yeah. But the Tim McKernan Show is something that I started, you are working on. And so if, for example, they were saying to me, hey, we're going to have to let Jackson go, for the record. Not that that is being said, or I can't imagine a scenario in which that's being said. A lot of shit would have to go wrong for that to be happening with you. But I'd be like, well, shit, let me, you know, if there was a bunch of revenue from the Tim McKernan Show that was going into my pocket, it's not. It is also licensed to Hubbard, to be clear. I would say, hey, let's take some of that new money that we made from the Tim McKernan Show and give that to Jackson. Or, in your case, I may go, okay, fine, fuck it, because I know how hard you work. I know your attitude. That's where my mind would be. But what frustrates me, even though I appreciate the question, is the mindset that I feel like there's almost like a lack of appreciation for what I think have been some pretty substantial sacrifices, and there's just like more. You know, the show fucking sucks while you're out of town. Well, I'm gonna take vacation. I don't know what to tell you. I gotta be a husband and a father at times too. You know, and that's not like there was a bunch of people saying that or I'm saying that. It's just like there's other stuff there. And I feel like I've made some pretty substantial sacrifices, but also they're not all altruistic. With like specific to what was gonna be the cat and at the end of 2021 and then became the Plowhawk. It's my belief that by giving back that money, it made the show better. But you can only give back so much, and we can also only have so many people on TMA. There is no show in the building with more people than we have on the show. And the only show that has as many people on their show roster as we do on TMA is The Riz Show, which is, without question, the biggest revenue producer, not just in the building, but in St. Louis. And there's a chance one of the biggest shows in all of the Midwest, and I would include the market of Chicago right in there. That's how big that show is. Yep. So the fact that we have five as it is a lot. But I also, like I said on TMA when talking about the Lisa Ann thing yesterday, I don't fault the audience for not knowing. What frustrates me is when the audience assumes they know and then doesn't ask, especially when I put myself out there to say, hey, ask anything. And even if it might come off as insulting, I don't fucking care, but ask me. And then that way I can give an answer to inform, mm-hmm. You know, I'm not going to fucking lie to you. So she has now followed up with, what's your reaction, Dennis? Fire away, because I've been talking too fucking long.
No, I understand where you're coming from. I would agree that the question is asked properly. Like, it's not done behind back channels and not done, it's asked directly, and it's not like, why aren't you doing this?
Right, it wasn't passive aggressive, it was direct. I appreciate that.
Right, and it builds on like asking a question like, if this, you know, because we've often talked about like, everyone wants more people, and then these people back on this on the show, it's like, okay, well that costs money, so where's the money coming from? And at least in this situation, you know, they're building upon that premise. I also see where you're coming from, where it's like, geez, how much more, like, you know, how much more do I have to provide after doing this much, especially with something that is started by you and just essentially you and me doing the show. Like you said, if this was coming from TMA and there was a lot of money for stuff, different situation, totally different situation.
So, for example, just to like, I try to, because one of the things that I was talking about with regard to the Lisa Ann thing, and this is the thing I, you know, countered Iggy on because it irritated me, was the what I believe, and I said this right to him, so I'm not saying something with him not here. I said it to him. I said, you're taking some moral high ground that if this would have been, you know, Lisa Ann going after one of us, as in Darren, you, Doug, or me, mm-hmm. you would have jumped in. Number one, don't jump in on one of my fights. I don't need help. You know, if I created the mess, I clean up the mess. That's number one. And number two, then what you're doing is passive aggressively suggesting that we did something wrong in a situation. And I really reject that. I know some things that went on off the air that would make other parties look badly if I brought them up on the air. The audience is just going to have to trust me on that, but I chose not to bring them up on the air. I don't think Lisa Ann should have been done what she did on the air, and I don't think Iggy should have done what he did. But they're two grown adults, and they made their beds, and, right. and that's the deal. And so Lisa Ann texted me when I'm on my way down to Fort Lauderdale. So I knew about her leaving the show, and I was like, yeah, I get it. I totally understand. And I could tell, if anything, she was really not in a good place. So I didn't come away from like, oh God, what are we going to do on TMA? We'll be fine. I was like, when my wife woke up, because we were at like 6 a.m. when I got the text, or 7 a.m, I'm like, I hope she's all right. I mean, she's still, this is 4 days old now, not the Iggy tweets, but the shit on the New York Post and the Radio City Music Hall. Like, she's clearly still upset, so I hope she's okay. That's what I was thinking. But with that all said, like, it's just, if would there have been the whole thing with, boy, how come nobody on the show stepped up for Iggy, or stepped up for Tim, if somebody called in and was pissed, like, if that were me and Lisa Ann,
right,
would that have happened?
Probably not.
Okay. Let's say Doug creates a podcast, okay?
Yeah.
And it takes off, yeah. And all of a sudden has a bunch of revenue coming in.
I just left to listen. The prime minister.
I know. Doug would go, oh, God. Would anybody be going, I mean, Doug.
Yeah.
I mean, aren't you going to put some money in? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. You're not wrong. You're
okay.
Not wrong.
That's.
Yeah.
And it's like, no matter how many times, and for the life of me, I just don't get it. Yeah. You and me and Hubbard are rewarded for this. If it does take, who knows? I don't know. It doesn't matter. It's not like all of a sudden it's like, hey, your third, you know, here's your big check. It's not the way that it works. It just has some momentum, whatever. So, but again, at least to her credit, she asked it directly. I appreciate that. So that gave me an opportunity to take a look at the email. I think I can read everything. So she sent an email following up to what I read on TMA. PLTDing, thanks for not sharing my name on the air before giving me a chance to respond. Prod Joe said it sounded like caller Ellen. He texted me that. So she said the caller Ellen guest from Prod Joe really makes you look in the mirror. You can use my name on the air if you want to address my response. Anyway, I fired this email off yesterday between cleaning up breakfast and putting my kid down for a nap because I was trying to get it in before you might record QFTA. If I knew you were going to read it on TMA, I would have written it completely differently. I had a little blurb in there about the givens. QFTA is your show. Decisions and spending money to hire new people are management choices and not yours. And doing something to increase your own earnings is a perfectly fine reason to do something, but it felt obvious and made the email longer than it needed to be for the QFTA audience, who would already have known all of that, or already have all that context based on what you've explained previously. Sorry I wasn't more clear. The thought process for my question was simply this. Do you, Tim, expect that increasing the value of all Inside STL content will lead to Hubbard investing more in Inside STL content, such as a full-time social media person or an additional host for TMA, not at your personal expense and not as a replacement for anyone who is already working on TMA? Thanks. That comes from Vanessa, in parentheses, Mrs. Loomster. That who's, she wants, God bless you for it. And I appreciate the question. I appreciate the way you phrased it. First class through and through. And she, I believe, was on the Lisa Ann dating game a couple of years ago.
She won.
Oh, that's right.
She won.
And her husband was runner-up or one listener of the year?
The man who usually sits in this chair, a.k.a. the Plowhawk, had some thoughts about that whole situation with the possible Davenport. But who knows? I don't know.
So I've met Mrs. I appreciate the question. I think something happened with her and Iggy, and so if I would have said her name this morning, I know it would have happened. And so I was very conscious. It's like I like intentionally don't say the words down and town together when I'm hosting TMA anymore. There are just certain things that I kind of know, not to do because I know what's going to happen. So you just kind of you try to so I know if I would have said, and then he went, oh, well, all right. So I'm just like, let's focus on what I'm trying to present here. And so I totally appreciate the question. I suppose let me just be as direct as I can. The radio environment at this moment in 2024 does not lend itself to Hubbard or any radio outlet adding staff. And that is a period. That's just the way that it is. And that doesn't mean that TMA isn't performing. That is just the overall climate. The business is obviously way bigger. I mean, TMA is... I mean, if you're talking about a revenue pie for Hubbard St. Louis, and I have no idea what Hubbard St. Louis's overall revenue is, I do know ours, as in TMA, it's a sliver, it's a sliver. So I get the thought process. That is one of the things that's kind of a double-edged sword of, going from an independently owned business to a corporation. If the corporation has... or if the industry as a whole, if I owned and operated and wasn't licensing the content to a corporation, then it's a different deal. But then at the same time, then I'm having to do everything, which is kind of closer to what things were like at 920 for sure, and in part at KFNS in the most recent go-round. So that was one of the reasons for the choice I leaned toward going to Hubbard, and then we, as in me, you, Iggy, and Doug, decided to go to Hubbard at the end of 2021. But that's something that impacts things. So if TMA is really performing well, that doesn't mean that, therefore, Hubbard will spend on TMA. But I totally understand people thinking that, totally understand it. So that's why I don't want to answer these questions in a condescending tone, because if people are coming to the table with a good faith question, and not just like sharpshooting, I want to try to reciprocate that with a transparent and straightforward answer. So with that all said, I get it. It's not like money came in because the listenership increased for this podcast last month, but that doesn't take away the spirit of the question. I just know the circumstances. Everybody in the building, including Iggy and the Plowhawk and Doug, not just me and Jackson, know the situation at this moment. Anybody in radio knows the situation at this moment. There isn't going to be a bunch of adding. That's why I'm not like, what happened to KG and O-Town? I get it. I know what's going on. And I explained it to him, and KG and O-Town has an understanding, and it's not like he's like, what in the world? He gets it. It always comes down to dollars and cents. That's business. I got no problem with it. So the Tim McKernan Show podcast in January having an increase in listeners is not relevant to adding. What I would say is what came up, and I think Iggy actually asked this question, if there was something I would advise adding if Tommy Mattern came to me and said, hey, we have this much money to add a position, what would you like to see us do with it? I would say social media. That's where I think we can improve the show. I just feel like that's where the opportunity for the greatest amount of growth is. That which is why I was a big advocate for KG and O-Town, because that's one of his greatest strengths.
Mm-hmm. Would agree. Yeah, totally. It makes sense to me, and I think you worded that well. And I think that Vanessa also.
I really appreciate the question. I want to emphasize that. Totally. I appreciate a question that's direct.
Yep.
And then can kind of put bullshit to bed.
Right. It doesn't build upon a premise that's
false.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. But I mean, you eliminate that by asking.
Yeah, right. If you, it's all the way you frame it, and she framed
the question.
It, yeah, framed it in a good faith manner.
All right. So I tip my cap for the question. I'm glad I didn't give the name this morning, and I appreciate it. And if she wants to follow up with more, TMCKERNAN at InsideSTL.com. Jackson, we have a hard out today. We got to go.
I know. This is
How about
like,
that?
Yeah, it's kind of like
quick hitter.
Yeah,
quick hitter. Thank you to our sponsors, Longo Big Studio sponsors, James Carlton of the Carlton State Farm Insurance Agency, Seth Goldkamp of Design Air Heating and Cooling, online at designerservice.com, Mark Hanna of Evergreen Wealth Strategies, online at evergreenstl.com, and Jamie Burkhard, Clayton Patterson, Peter Munganest, and Ryan Seiberg at Munganest St. Louis Acura and Munganest Burkhard Alton Toyota. Quick hitter today, boys, because we have a sound story coming up in this very studio. Always listen at the Tim McKernan Show if you miss it, or you can watch it on youtube.com/TMASTL. For Jackson Burkett, I'm Tim McKernan. This has been the Tim McKernan Show from the Longo Big Studios.